Harper Audio presents The Honest Truth About Dishonesty. How We Lie to Everyone, Especially Ourselves. By Dan Ariely. Performed by Simon Jones. Introduction. Why is dishonesty so interesting? There's one way to find out if a man is honest. Ask him. If he says yes, he is a crook. Groucho Marx. My interest in cheating was first ignited in 2002, just a few months after the collapse of Enron. I was spending the week at some technology-related conference, and one night over drinks I got to meet John Perry Barlow. I knew John as the erstwhile lyricist for the Grateful Dead, but during our chat I discovered that he had also been working as a consultant for a few companies, including Enron. In case you weren't paying attention in 2001, the basic story of the fall of the Wall Street darling went something like this. Through a series of creative accounting tricks, helped along by the blind eye of consultants, rating agencies, the company's board, and the now-defunct accounting firm Arthur Andersen, Enron rose to great financial heights, only to come crashing down when its actions could no longer be concealed. Stockholders lost their investments, retirement plans evaporated, thousands of employees lost their jobs, and the company went bankrupt. While I was talking to John, I was especially interested in his description of his own wishful blindness. Even though he consulted for Enron while the company was rapidly spinning out of control, he said he hadn't seen anything sinister going on. In fact, he had fully bought into the worldview that Enron was an innovative leader of the new economy, right up until the moment the story was all over the headlines. Even more surprising, he also told me that once the information was out, he could not believe that he failed to see the signs all along. That gave me pause. Before talking to John, I assumed that the Enron disaster had basically been caused by its three sinister C-level architects, Jeffrey Skilling, Kenneth Lay, and Andrew Fastow, who together had planned and executed a large-scale accounting scheme. But here I was, sitting with this guy whom I liked and admired, who had his own story of involvement with Enron, which was one of wishful blindness, not one of deliberate dishonesty. It was, of course, possible that John and everyone else involved with Enron were deeply corrupt, but I began to think that there may have been a different type of dishonesty at work, one that relates more to wishful blindness and is practiced by people like John, you, and me. I started wondering if the problem of dishonesty goes deeper than just a few bad apples, and if this kind of wishful blindness takes place in other companies as well. The flood of corporate scandals that continued from that point on very clearly answered this question. I also wondered whether friends and I would have behaved similarly if we had been the ones consulting for Enron. I became fascinated by the subject of cheating and dishonesty. Where does it come from? What is the human capacity for both honesty and dishonesty? And perhaps most important, is dishonesty largely restricted to a few bad apples, or is it a more widespread problem? I realized that the answer to this last question might dramatically change how we should try to deal with dishonesty. That is, if only a few bad apples are responsible for most of the cheating in the world, we might easily be able to remedy the problem. Human resources departments could screen for cheaters during the hiring process, or they could streamline the procedure for getting rid of people who prove to be dishonest over time. But if the problem is not confined to a few outliers, that would mean that anyone could behave dishonestly at work or at home, you and I included. And if we all have the potential to be somewhat criminal, it is crucially important that we first understand how dishonesty operates, and then figure out ways to contain and control this aspect of our nature.